Many thanks, Donna, for your messages and song, and also to Alan for leading the service for us tonight. We truly pray that God will bless what we've just heard, and we can say, Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Let's just go together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to Thee tonight. And we come to Thee because of the victory of Calvary. We thank You for the sufficiency of that sacrifice and for the power of the Savior's precious blood that He shed there to make an atonement for sin. We come to Thee, Lord, to thank You for the mighty work of the cross. And we're here tonight, and this building stands tonight because of the cross. We rejoice, Lord, in Your love and in Your work and in Your salvation. We pray tonight, our Father, that You would bless our coming together. As we turn to Your Word just now, O God, we pray that You would speak through it, and that people gathered in this meeting tonight might hear the voice of God speaking to them and working in their life. We come to Thee, O God, in our weakness. We realize that we're in a battle against the powers of darkness. We thank You that they that be for us are more than they that be for them. And so we claim the victory tonight in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we ask these things. Amen. Now, it's good to be with you today here at Lurgan. And we trust that the Lord will have blessed His Word this morning, and again will do so tonight. And I want to turn with you tonight to the Gospel of John in chapter 13. The Gospel of John in chapter 13. And this chapter begins with the Lord Jesus and His disciples in the upper room. It says at the beginning, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And you remember, as you read down that passage, that the Lord Jesus washed His disciples' feet. And you remember that Peter objected, but the Lord had to educate him and show him that it was necessary that he should do so. As we come down the chapter, I want to take it up again at verse 21. And it says, when Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in spirit, and testified, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray Me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom He spake. How there were neither were leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it would be of whom He spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. But some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And we'll end at that verse number 30. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. When the Lord Jesus said here that one of them should betray him, I can imagine that the disciples would all sit up and prick their ears and look one to another. And we read here how that Peter beckoned to John, who was leaning on Jesus' breast, to ask him who it was that he was referring to. And of course, John did that, and the Lord answered him. But it seems that the disciples got a little bit confused when Jesus spoke to Judas, and thought that because he carried the bag, he was asking him to go and prepare some things that they needed. But we find here that he said that him to whom I will give the sop. Now, the sop, if you have a marginal Bible, it says in the margin a morsel. It was a morsel of bread that was at the table. And the Lord Jesus was saying that he who would give the morsel of bread to, that was to identify the one that would betray him. And it says here that he then, having received the sop, the Lord Jesus takes this morsel of bread, he dips it probably in the vinegar, and hands it to Judas Iscariot across the table, and it says, he then, having received the sop or the morsel of bread, went immediately out, and it was night. And it was night. And that's a little phrase I want just to hold on to tonight for a short time. It was night. It was night on the outside. The darkness had fallen. It was night. And you know it was night on the inside because it was night in Judas's heart. Because it tells us here that Satan had entered into him. So it was night on the inside, and it was night for Judas on the outside, and it was night on the other side, because he went out that night into the night of eternity. And I want to think with you tonight about the last night. The last night. That was Judas's last night. His last night. You know, there are last nights that we know about here in time on earth. You know, sometimes something special is on, maybe a mission has been on, and the gospel has been preached for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then it comes to the last night of the mission. And there's great interest gathers, and people gather from all places on the last night. And usually on the last night, it's one of the biggest crowds that you get at a gospel mission. Of course, there's other last nights. I am sure that many of you know that over in England, there's a concerts. Promenade concerts are held every autumn. And there's what's known as the last night of the proms. The promenade concerts. And that's a very special night. Because it's televised nationwide. And it's a very famous night. The last night of the proms. And of course there's other last nights. There's the last night of maybe a particular play or drama that's been held in the West End. And these are all last nights that we know about. They're last nights that we know about. But I want to think tonight about a last night that we don't know about. This was Judas's last night on earth. And you know, friends, some night will be our last night on earth before we die. But none of us know when that last night will be. That night could be this night, or it could be tomorrow night, but one thing is sure, it will be some night. It will be some night. And I want to bring before you tonight three people from the Scriptures, and we want to see how they spent their last night on earth. And none of these three people knew that it was their last night. So we want to see how they spent it. Because how true the Scripture is when it says that we know not what a day will bring forth. The first one I want to look at is Judas Iscariot, the man that we're reading about here in the passage, and look at it in the context of what we've begun here in John chapter 13. John had gathered with the Savior and the other disciples in the upper room. They were round the table celebrating the Passover feast. And this was to be Judas's last night in their company. It was to be his last night upon earth. Little did he know, as they sat at that table, that this was his last meal. His last meal. His last Passover supper. And as he gathered with the disciples in the upper room, this was the last meeting he would ever be at. You know, when they celebrated the Passover, they always sang that group of psalms in the book of Psalms called the Hallel. From Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 is known as the Hallel. And they sang those psalms at the Passover. And little did Judas know as they sang those psalms that this was the last meeting. You know, as he listened to the Savior preaching, because Christ ministered to them and preached to them in that upper room. And you know, he had listened to him on many occasions before. He had listened to some of the great sermons that the Son of God had preached. The mighty sermons when he preached the Word of God. But this was his last message, the last message he would ever listen to. The Savior dipped the morsel of bread and handed it to Judas. And it says in verse 30, he then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. It was night. The devil had gained control of him. And he went out into the night for the last time. You know, friends, this was the last move that Judas made in that meeting. And the last move he made was to stand up from the table and turn his back on Jesus Christ and reject him. He rejected the Son of God for the last time. And he went out into the night, and not long after, into the night of eternity. It was his last night. And you know, some meal will be your last meal. And some meeting will be your last meeting. I can remember people, as I look back down through the years since I went into the Lord's work, I can remember people who sat in churches and it was their last meeting. I didn't know that, nor they didn't know it. But they were never out at the meeting again. They were either stricken down with illness or death came and took them. And dear friends, some meal will be your last meal, and some meeting will be your last meeting, and some message will be the last message. Someday you'll hear the gospel message preached for the last time, and someday you'll hear the preacher's voice for the last time. And some move will be your last move. My dear friends, you may have sat under the gospel on many occasions. I can remember people who have sat and sat and sat, and people have prayed and prayed and prayed that they would come to Christ. And you know, Sunday after Sunday, at the end of the closing hymn, they've got up from the seat and turned their back on the gospel and gone out through the door into the night. And some night they'll turn their back on Jesus Christ for the last time. Dear friends, if you're not saved tonight, don't be turning your back on Christ tonight. Don't be turning your back on the Savior, because this night could be your last night. This night could be your last night. You know, there's another person that I thought about when I was thinking about the last night. And over in the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, and chapter 12, we find there a story that the Lord Jesus told. It was a parable. He spake a parable unto them, and it was about a farmer. And the Lord said this in Luke 12, and verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I've no room to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, we find that this is a story about a man who was successful in business. His business was booming. His barns were bulging. And as he looks across the farm and looks across the fields, he sees the plenteous crops that had grown up. My, what a harvest there had been. And he looks at his barns and he thinks to himself, my, there's not enough room. I need to put an extension onto the business. I need bigger barns. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And he not only talks to himself about his barns and about his building plans, but he looks ahead and he says, then I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Thou hast much laid up for many years. His plans, and he's looking ahead into the future, and he's expecting to spend many years enjoying the fruits of his labors. And you know, that very night that he was planning, and that very night that he was dreaming about the future, that night was his last night. That night was his last night. Because it says, but God said unto him, but God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which shall be provided? You know, friends, he didn't even see his barns, old barns, pulled down. Never mind his new ones put up. As you listen to this man talking on his last night, you'll notice this. He was always talking about his goods. He talks about my goods and many goods. His whole mind was taken up with the business. He talks about his goods, but he never talks about God. God is never in his thoughts or in his mind. And how many there are like this rich farmer today, and they talk about their business, and they talk about their future plans, but they never talk about God. They never think about God. Many people talk about business, but never talk about God. Others talk about sport every day, but they never think about the Savior, and they never talk about their soul. Others think about pleasure, but they never think of God. Others talk about politics and holidays and many other things, but they never think or talk about God. God is never in their mind. There are those who spend their last night upon earth, and God is never in their thoughts. Yes, he talks about time, many years. But he doesn't know that this is his last few hours here on earth. Talks about time, but never thinks about eternity. Many people plan for time, but they never prepare for eternity. People build for time, but they never build for eternity. This man was dreaming of earthly security. He says, "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years," but he never thought about his eternal security, the eternal security of his soul. Many people today make provision for long life and retirement, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they never make provision for the eternal welfare of their soul in eternity. Here we have a man who spent his last night planning and dreaming about time when he had no time left. He had no time left. Do you ever play one of those games that the kids get at Christmas? And you know there's a timer in it. It's like an egg timer. And you have to solve the puzzle or get over the line or whatever it is you have to do or answer the question. And at the start they turn the timer up and the sand begins to run down through the timer. And you can see the sand filling up the little piece at the bottom. And you see that your time is getting smaller and smaller and shorter and shorter. And then we find that the sand is gone and the time is gone. And dear friends, you might be here tonight, and the timer of your life, there maybe is not too much sand left in it. Be careful you don't let time run out. Yes, be careful that the time doesn't run out. My Judas Iscariot, his last night, he turned his back on the Son of God for the last time. And here's a man here, and everything was going for him, and things were going well, and the business was booming, and he had all that he wanted. But he was so taken up with the things of life and the things of time that he neglected the eternal welfare of his soul. You know, the third person that I want to bring before you that the Bible lets us see his last night, is over in the book of Daniel. And it's in the book of Daniel and chapter 5. And I know that many of you know this man well. He's a man called Belshazzar. He followed Nebuchadnezzar. And Belshazzar came to the throne. And it says here, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. What a party he held. What a feast this was. And while he tasted the wine, he commanded them to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem. These were the consecrated vessels from the temple in Jerusalem that were only set aside by to be used in the temple of God. But he called for them that the king and his princes and his wives and concubines might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank from them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and stone. And here's Belshazzar, and we see him feasting. Calls a great feast. Organizes a great party. And we see him drinking wine with his wives and his concubines and those that he invited to the party. And then we see him knocking, bringing the vessels from the temple of God and blaspheming, knocking and blaspheming and laughing. And that's what many people are doing today, isn't it? Laughing at God. Blaspheming God. Going to some of these wild parties where anything goes. But Belshazzar found out to his cost that you cannot laugh at God. Because as the party proceeded, there appeared the fingers of a man's hand and wrote on the plaster of the wall, "My, over against the candlestick." And we find that Daniel was called to interpret this reading that was written on the wall by the fingers of God. And Daniel came, and he said to Belshazzar, "This is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Michel, Yufarsin. This is the interpretation of Mene. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tichel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." And then it says this: "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain." It was his last night. It was his last night. Oh, the night started well. Feasting. And drinking, and laughing, and mocking, and blaspheming. But dear friends, before that night was ended, this man, God's judgment came upon him. And as Belshazzar indulged in this wild party, little did he know that was his last night. And I listen to the news at times. And in the morning, as the newscaster tells us what happened the night before, how often we hear of an accident of some young man or some young woman or some young group of men or women. And you know, they've been coming home about 3 or 4 in the morning. And I'll look at the wife and say, "What on earth were they doing out at 3 or 4 in the morning?" Or sometimes you hear that they were in the car alone and it was a one car accident, and little did they know when they left that club or that dance or disco or party or feast, little did they know that this was their last night. It was their last night. And dear friends, you can be cut off very quickly. Death can come suddenly and unexpectedly. From nowhere the reaper appears, takes people out. And that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, died. Dear friend, tonight death can come. People have dropped dead in the street. People have met their death at their work or whatever. Stories told about a young man who asked a girl out to a dance. And he called round for her, knocked the door. Her mother came to the door. She said, she's getting ready. She'll be down in a moment or two. But the moment or two passed and there was no sign of her. And her mother went up the stairs to see what was keeping her. And when she went into her room, she's sitting at her dressing table. And her spirit had gone. It was just a body. Death had taken her unexpectedly. Dear friend, tonight none of us know what night is our last night. None of us know what night is our last night. In the light of that, what preparation have you made for eternity tonight? What if this were your last night tonight? Where would your soul be? You know, friends, many, like Judas, have turned their back on Jesus Christ. Maybe you have done that down through the years and weeks which gone. Maybe you are like the rich farmer. Maybe you're here tonight and your soul taken up with work and business and other things that you have no time for God. Maybe you're like Belshazzar. You think you can do what you want and live like you want and sin as much as you want and you'll get away with it, but you can't. Dear friend, if this was your last night, if this was the last meeting that you would be at, if this was the last message that you would hear, I wonder what your last move will be. In case this is the last night for you, the last meeting or the last message, I want to just finish tonight by bringing you a story. It's called the story of the gospel. I want to leave a message with you tonight just in case this would be the last night for someone in this meeting, for some man or woman, for some young person in this meeting, for some boy or girl in this meeting, just in case it's the last night for you. And the message is this: that God loves you. And the God of heaven so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent his Son from glory into this world to be your Savior. And the Son of God came from heaven and lived for 30 years a perfect, spotless life without sin and blemish. And he went to the cross at Calvary that we've been singing about tonight and we've been hearing sung to us tonight. He went to Calvary's tree. And there he died for sinners. He died for me and you. He suffered for our sins on that cross. He died as our substitute. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He shed his precious blood to cleanse you and to save your soul from hell. And dear friends, he finished the work that the Father sent him to do. He offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. And bless God, on the third day he rose again in mighty victory and triumph. And there's a living Savior tonight. There's one who's able to save and to cleanse your soul from sin and to save your soul from hell. And God comes out in marvelous, wondrous grace this evening. And through the merits of the blood of his Son, he offers to you here tonight a free and perfect pardon through faith and the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, like Judas, have turned their back on the Savior. Don't turn your back on the Savior tonight. Many, like the rich farmer, have no thought for God. Trust tonight that you'll put God first. Many are like Belshazzar, have indulged in the pleasures of sin, never realized how near they are to eternity. Many years ago, near the end of the Second World War, a group of young American soldiers was involved in the battle over in Europe. They got some time off and they came to England, to London, for some time off that had been given. And a church in London took them in and looked after them and kept them and provided for them. And the last night that they were going away, just before they went the next day, they held a sort of a social, a get-together. And they sang together some of the songs, the war songs that were popular at that time. And the ladies made a supper for them, and cakes and sandwiches and all the rest of it. And they really enjoyed their last few hours in London. And then at the end of the night, the sergeant in charge of them stood up. And he thanked the church for all their love and all that they'd done for them, and the women for all that they had done. And then he said, "You know, we're leaving you now and we're going back to the front line. We're going back to the battle." And he said, "Some of us may never return home. We may be killed in action. We may never return home." And then he said, "Can anyone here tell us how to die?" And there was a stillness in the hall. And then the lady playing the piano stood to her feet. And she just simply said this: "Jesus said, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.'" Dear friends, when death comes, if you're a believer and death comes, "he that believeth on him shall not die but have everlasting life." I trust tonight that if you're not saved, if you're not right, you might just consider that one night will be your last night, your last opportunity. It may be this night. And I pray and trust tonight that if you've turned your back on the Savior thus far, that this night, that you might turn to Him and come to Him and throw the heart's door widely open and bid the Savior enter in. We're going to sing that great hymn just now, 220.